بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على سيد الرسل وخاتم النبيين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. First and foremost, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each and every one of us with. And most importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this great ni'mat of Iman. This wealth of Iman is such a great ni'mat that the true value of this Iman will only be realized the moment our eyes close and we start our journey to the year after. That is why we should make a concentrated effort all the time to try and protect our Iman from all the different challenges, to try and strengthen our Iman with the various different forms of ibadat and worship. And regarding this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to say that daily we should try and offer 2 rakat of Salatul Shukr for this wealth of Iman. And by expressing the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah our Iman will be strengthened. And as our Iman strengthens, it will be a means of security and defense for us against the various different challenges that we are facing in this era. As far as fitan, trials and tribulations are concerned, it is nothing new. It has been coming from generation upon generation, and closer to Qiyamah, these fitan and these challenges will increase. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility to protect this deen, to protect the Quran. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this responsibility, and not only the words of the Quran has been protected, but also the meanings and the interpretation of the Quran has also been protected. And this is what we call huda. Qul inna hudallahi huwal huda. The guidance, the divine guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that goes against this divine guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anything that is in contrast to huda, is termed in the Quran as hawa. And hawa can be our prejudices, our opinions, our desires, whatever we think that is contrary and that goes against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes against the Quran, it goes against the blessed sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as we as an ummah are taking our guidance from huda, from the Quran, from the ahadith, from the blessed sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah we will be protected and we will not be in any danger and will not be in any risk. And the moment we start drifting away from huda, we drift away from the Quran, we drift away from the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we start engaging in hawa, in giving preference to our opinions over that of the Quran and sunnah, and following our opinions and giving supremacy to our opinions, then there is great danger and there is great risk for our Iman. Before going directly into the aspect of the Abrahamic Accord, which we have gathered here for today, it is very important for us to understand that the enemies of Islam have always employed different methods and ways to try and damage the Muslim by taking away their Iman. Sometimes they use feminism, sometimes they use concepts of liberalism, sometimes they use concepts of humanism, And if you have to look at each and every of these various different type of concepts that are out there, it is all deeply rooted in modernism and liberalism, which can be defined in two short terms. One is anything that is against tradition is regarded as liberal and modernism, and anything that is continuously updating and continuously changing, that too is regarded as modernism and liberalism. So how they have defined this in terms of humanism is that men today will sit and decide what is good for humankind or what is bad for humankind. In other words, we have to go to our opinions, and whatever our opinions will declare and regard as good for men, that will be regarded as good. And if we believe that these aspects are harmful for us, then that will be harmful. We do not go to the Sharia, we do not go to the deen, we disassociate totally from the deen or from the divine guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One aspect which is commonly used for this year is what they call perennialism. Perennialism, in basic terms, which means that all religions are equal in the hereafter, if you even believe in the concept of the hereafter, there is no concept of Jahannam. Immaterial of what your beliefs are, whether they are of shirk, whether they are of disbelief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they are secular, immaterial of what it is. In the year after, we all are going to be in one very nice place, and there is no belief and aqidah, there is no place called Jahannam, there will be no punishment, there will be no suffering. So everybody is correct, all religions are correct, and you don't have to believe in the finality of the prophethood of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go into Jannah. So, this particular belief and this particular concept is being promoted in various different parts of the world with various different names. Sometimes it is called the Abrahamic Accord, sometimes they call it Peygham-e-Pakistan, sometimes it is called Cape Accord, sometimes it is called the Makkah Charter. Basically what they are trying to do is they are trying to say to us that religion is a source of conflict. And as long as there is a community in the world that believes that their religion is supreme, and we know we as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned that inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam, that the only religion accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whosoever forsakes and abandons the deen of Islam for any other religion, it will not be accepted from him. So it is very clear that the only religion Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts is that of Islam. So they have promoted in the world that religion is a source of conflict, and wherever one religion will be given supremacy over any other religion, or whoever believes that their religion is the correct religion and other religions are incorrect, then this is a source of conflict. This leads to hate speech, this leads to hate crimes, and this is the source of all evil, all facade, and the root of all the catastrophe that we are seeing in this world. And how we can achieve peace and unity in the world is we need to turn away from religion, we need to separate religion and give religion the garb of a culture, that all religions are equal, whether you believe in Allah Ta'ala as one, or you believe that as the Yahud, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that Uzair is the son of Allah Ta'ala, or Isa alayhi salam as a Nasara believe he is the son of Allah Ta'ala according to some of the scriptures, immaterial of what your belief is. As long as you have some concept of God and not necessarily believing in the finality of the prophethood of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the object is to achieve unity and peace, that is sufficient for you to go into Jannah. So from this we can see the great harms and the dangers that is coming to the Muslim Ummah by these various different slogans. The slogans are of peace, the slogans are of unity, the slogan is that of spiritual diplomacy. And in this name of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they're actually introducing apostasy into Islam, irtidad and riddat into Islam. According to the organizations that they have set up for these agendas, such as the Muslim Jewish Leadership Council, the International Council for Christian and Jews, and the Peace Island Institute in the West, who are promoting this concept and ideologies very, very vigorously in different parts of the world, where they're having they organize conferences, people are invited to these conferences, and they are in some way or the other forced, or they subscribe to the message, and they engage in the message of the enemy. What they are saying is that the three major religions in the world, Islam, Christianity and Judaism, each one of them have some sort of affinity and some attachment to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So to bring about peace in the world, we need to take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of the equation and go to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this will then bring about peace and unity in the world, because we are all on one platform, and that is the platform of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now there's only two ways for us to understand Ibrahim alayhi salam. One way of understanding Ibrahim alayhi salam is through Huda, through the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is divine, which is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other way of understanding Ibrahim alayhi salam is through the Bible, which has been abrogated and which has been changed, and which has been in many instances, in many parts, has been redefined. So just to for our understanding, if we have to understand Ibrahim alayhi salam through the Bible, then from three incidents we can understand, and we can try and analyze what is correct and what is incorrect, and how detrimental it is for us if we have to understand Ibrahim alayhi salam from any other source other than the Quran. For example, in the abrogated verses of the Bible, they mention regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam that when he was traveling to Egypt, then the king somehow was informed of a lady who was accompanying Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was extremely beautiful. And the king wanted to make some advancements, and he kidnapped this lady who was traveling with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And while he was trying to make advancements to her, he was able to do what he intended doing, and he was able to fulfill his desire in whichever way he tried to do. This is what the Bible is telling us about the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah. On the other hand, our version is when the king tried to make advancement to Sarah alayhi salam, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he became paralyzed. And when he tried again, then paralysis overtook him again. And the more he tried, the more he was stopped. And when he realized that this is something unusual, then immediately he withheld, and he granted Hajar as a gift to Sarah, who then became the wife of Ibrahim, the spouse of Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. So the version of the Bible is totally contrary to the concept of Islam. It is totally against the shan, the respect, the dignity of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is one incident. Another incident regarding Nuh alayhi salam. According to the Bible, that one day the sons of Nuh alayhi salam came and they found their father, who was a great Nabi, in a complete state of drunkenness. And he was so drunk that he was completely naked, and he was lying there in this particular state. Now we know as Anbiya alayhi salam, the ismat of Anbiya alayhi salam, that Anbiya alayhi salam are free from all this. The Anbiya alayhi salam are ma'asum, they are free from sin. But in the Bible, this is what they are saying about Nuh alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam, a great Nabi, nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who had daughters. So according to the Bible, one day the daughters got together and they say, you know, our father only has daughters, he doesn't have son. We need to have a relationship with him so that maybe through us the progeny of he can get some male offspring. And the daughters went and then made the father, who's Lut alayhi salam, drunk, and then they had relationships with their father, and then from there the male offspring of Lut alayhi salam continued. So this is in the Bible, and this is what the Bible is saying regarding senior Anbiya alayhi salam. So there is no way for us as Muslims where we can go to the Bible and gain guidance regarding the Abrahamic religion or Abrahamic accord or whatever it may be. What the Quran has taught us of Ibrahim alayhi salam and what the Bible is saying and what the world today is saying is completely alien to what the Quran has taught us. They are saying something different and the Quran is saying something different. And what the Quran is saying is correct. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa wa lam yakun minal mushrikeen. Ibrahim alayhi salam in himself was an embodiment of the ummah. The qualities he had was that of an ummah, devout, obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was not from among the polytheists, he was not from the mushrikeen. Ma kana Ibrahim yahudiyan. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not of the Jews, wala nasraniyan, nor was he a Christian, walakin kana hanifan muslima, but he was an upright and devout Muslim. Wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen, nor was he from among the mushrikeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various parts of the Quran, in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named an entire chapter, entire surah in the Quran on the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And after Musa alayhi salam, most of the incidents that are mentioned in the Quran was that of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already negated all the false claims attributed to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala censures the Yahud and the Nasara. And he says, لِمَ تُحَاجُّونَ فِي Ibrahim. Why are you disputing with regards to Ibrahim alayhi salam? وَمَا أُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاتُ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. The Torah and Injil was only revealed after Ibrahim alayhi salam. So all the claims that you are making to Ibrahim alayhi salam is incorrect. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسَ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ. That those who are most dutiful and rightful to Ibrahim alayhi salam, الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ, are those people who follow Ibrahim alayhi salam in the true sense. وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ, and this Nabi regarding Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and the believers, the muhajirin, the Ansar, and the Ummati of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have a right to Ibrahim alayhi salam, because they are following Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يُضِلُّونَكُمْ. There is a group from among the people of the scriptures. They wish and the desire is that they must lead you astray. وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. In reality they are leading themselves astray and they are unaware of it. In another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, إِن تُطِيعُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. If you have to follow a group of those people who were given the scriptures, يَرُدُّونَكُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ. After your iman they will lead you astray and they will deviate you from iman into kufr. In another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the same thing, that if you will follow, إِن تُطِيعُوا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. If you have to follow them, the people of the scriptures, they will lead you astray and you will become the losers. So these are different slogans which they use. Outwardly the slogan is that of unity. Outward slogan is that of peace. Outward slogan is that of spiritual diplomacy. And in this year they are introducing apostasy in Islam. And how they are introducing apostasy? By taking away the nubuwwat, the finality of the prophethood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out. That means to achieve peace, you don't have to go to Islam. To achieve peace, you must go beyond Islam. Take Islam out of the picture, out of the equation, and go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have to engage in the message of the enemy. And how we have to engage in the message of the enemy? In the name of peace, and for the sake of unity, the Muslims have to give up Palestine over to the Jews. Not only Palestine, in fact the entire travels of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Quran has mentioned the travels of Ibrahim alayhi salam, his journey to Iraq and his journey to Misr and Hijaz. So from the Euphrates to the Nile, this entire region, in the name of Abraham, God, under the slogan of social activism and peace and unity and spiritual diplomacy, it must be taken away from the Muslims And the Muslims must happily give it over, because this is unity and this is peace, and it must be given over to the Jews. So this is what is being promoted in the world. And for this year, they have engaged various different organizations, different bodies, in the name of peace, to achieve this particular objective of interfaith. And as I've mentioned earlier, different slogans are being used all the time. Sometimes the Makkah Charter is used, sometimes Abrahamic Accord is being used, sometimes Cape Accord is being used. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has clearly mentioned what is the Millat Ibrahim. Millat Ibrahim means that we need to disengage and disassociate ourselves totally from everything, and we need to direct our attention only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, you look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, as a youth, as a young person, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he saw the evils that are taking place in his society of shirk and the various different polytheism activities that was taking place, Ibrahim alayhi salam abstained. When they had the day of Eid and they had the day of getting together and everyone coming together, Ibrahim alayhi salam abstained. He did not go. So this is what what is Millat Ibrahimi. Inna bura'a'u minkum wa mimma ta'budun. That what you worship and that what we are doing, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I am innocent from it, I am free from it, I have nothing to do with it. Then the entire inference of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the context of honor, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدًا, that we have granted Ibrahim understanding, intelligence, from before. And furthermore, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the incident of him going and destroying the idol. So this is the Millat Ibrahimi. This is the true concept of Ibrahimic Accord, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. The Deen Ibrahimi, which is mentioned in the Quran, this is what is Ibrahim alayhi salam. He went and he destroyed the idols. He went and he did not participate in their aid. He stayed away from them. He stayed away from his father also after it became clear to him. When he is the enemy of Allah, so when he was the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Ibrahim alayhi salam had to stay away. فَلَمَّا عَتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. So when all these different challenges are coming to us from different aspects, from different angles, we as an ummah need to abstain. We cannot engage. And they fool us by us engaging in it in the name of interfaith. And they say, no, it's not actually interfaith, it's intrafaith. We are just discussing different aspects of religion. Now we are discussing different aspects of religion, but where they are leading you to, eventually they are going to lead you to this concept that all religions are equal, whether you are Muslim, whether you are Jew, whether you are Christian, whether you believe in a stone as God, whether you are a Rastafarian, whatever you believe, everyone is equal and everyone is going to go into Jannah. And if you do not subscribe to this Abrahamic Accord, or you do not subscribe to this belief, then you will be regarded as an Islamist, because you speak of the supremacy of Islam. You will be regarded as a person who wants anarchy in this world, and you want fasad in this world, you want war in this world, and you must be arrested, you must be shut down, you must be closed down, different legislation must be formed against you, and these are different things which they are being promoted. So for us it is very clear as Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the path of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوح والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم. Allah Ta'ala has clearly mentioned, which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has legislated, the deen of all Anbiya alayhim as-salam from Adam alayhi as-salam is one. Deenuna wahid. It is mentioned in the hadith that our deen is one. Yes, there are different legislations, different periods, there are different legislations until the legislation and the Shariat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come in, and that is the final, that is supreme, that is absolute. In the interpretations of the deen of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the interpretation of the meaning of the Quran also is absolute, it is also protected, it is also supreme, it is as how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be interpreted. We cannot come 1400 years later and reinterpret the Quran or redefine the Quran as we wish, or as society, or as certain human beings sit and feel how it must be interpreted. And we know very well, recently, just yesterday, in India, that a certain law was passed.
certain human beings, they said and they felt that hijab is not an integral part of deen. So the bar and the status of liberalism and modernism will always be changing. Previously there was no problem with hijab or no problem with a scarf or with a piece of cloth over the head. Today the piece of cloth or the piece of hijab which our mothers and sisters are veiling themselves and donning is a major problem, and this needs to be taken away from religion. They declaring it not an integral part of religion because it is hawa, it is their opinion. In the same way, a time will come where they will believe that Islam is not a deen, and believing in the finality of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not an integral part of deen, and Muslims mustn't believe in that as an integral part of deen, because this is causing conflict and this is causing hate speech in the world. So these things will continue changing. New laws of equality will always come out above in the world. If we are following liberalism, now their law of equality is that you mustn't wear hijab to be equal. Men must sit in the morning period in iddat because that is equality. So these things will continue changing. What we need to be aware of, how these concepts in different forms, the overarching religion to all this here is liberalism. And from here, one aspect is the Abrahamic Accord, which comes through perennialism by saying that all religions are equal. One aspect is feminism, where they use this to say that Islam is misogynist towards the female gender. Why there are different sets of rules for females and there are different sets of rules for males? In other words, they want to impose their culture and their value system upon us. In fact, our value system, our culture, the culture of Islam and the religion of Islam, that is not sufficient, that is not good enough, that is backward. In fact, if we subscribe to Islam, then we are not even regarded as humans, we are subhumans. And that is very clear from what is happening now in Ukraine, what we are seeing, that in Syria, when the bombardment took place, in Afghanistan, those refugees and those people who were driven out of their homes couldn't go to any parts of the world. It was criminalized. But here in Europe, there's some issue take place, that also among themselves, then the whole world, even the Muslim countries, are opening their borders to accept them on the basis of humanity. So now there's humanity. And when the Muslims are going through difficulty, then there is no humanity. So respected mothers and sisters, this is just a short message that for us to be aware of these different challenges they are facing, how they are trying to detach us from our iman. And one strong avenue which is used is currently in our schooling systems, where in the different subjects our children, our sons and daughters are being taught that all religions are equal. Now the moment a person believes that all religions are equal, already the person is in very, very great danger. And we know some of our friends also, and we sit and we discuss and engage with them. They are going to such schools now that their children believing that there is nothing wrong to believe in the crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam, because it is making sense to them. Some of them believe that in this day and age, in the 21st century, can you believe in the concept of angels? Because it's not something that they can see, so that means they can't believe in it. And our iman is based on iman bil ghayb. So all these aspects which are coming into the syllabus, it's coming in different forms, we are unaware of it. We think that we are just going to school like how we used to go 30, 40 years ago, where we're going to school to learn how to just read and write and learn some mathematics and some aspects of geography and history. That's it. Now the ball game has changed completely. All these different aspects are being shoved down on our throats through the education system, through the schooling system. So the one aspect of religion will be brought in science in a particular way, where they'll take the supremacy of deen and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out, and they put the love and the supremacy of science, and that also which continues changing all the time, which is not absolute, which is not supreme. Today one person thinks this is good, tomorrow another human being comes and he says no, this is better. 10 years later another person comes and he negates all the other theories and he comes with another theory. That is being put in our children, and our children are made to believe that that is a source of guidance and that is a source of directions. So we as parents,
We need to be very, very careful that when we are sending our offspring to school, our daughters and our sons to school, what education is being imparted to them. Are they going to school, and is that school becoming a means of them losing their iman? Is it putting their iman into danger? Is it putting their iman into a crisis? We need to be very, very aware. And also through the social media, how they are promoting the unity and peace, that Islam is a source of conflict. Because Islam is the only religion accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever doesn't believe in the finality of the Prophet of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be granted entry into Jannah. So this is a source of conflict. So we need to be proud of our religion. We need to be proud of Islam. That we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected us to be the ummati of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and followers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And each and every aspect of the deen has already been clearly mentioned to us in our deen. The deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, our family laws are there in this deen. The criminal justice system is there in our deen. The economic system is there in our deen. What we need to know, what we don't need to know, what we need to do, what we don't need to do, everything is clearly mentioned. We do not need to go to human beings to tell us what is correct and what is incorrect. Allah Ta'ala has already told us. And what Allah Ta'ala has chosen for us, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have completed your deen. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And my favor upon you has been complete. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And I have chosen for you Islam. Islam is peace. Islam is unity. They have abandoned Islam. They have forsaken Islam. And then they are blaming us and insulting us that we are doing wrong. We are doing absolutely nothing wrong. We are just enacting that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, and which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us to do, as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us through this difficult challenge and this difficult era. And this is not something for us to be worried about. These incidents will always be taking place. We know in the time of Akbar Badshah, he came in the 1500s, he introduced the Deen Ilahi, where he took Hinduism and Zoroastrianism, Islam and one, two other religions, and he tried to unify them, amalgamate them into one religion and try to impose it on the people of the greater India at this particular time. The ulama were there, the ulama stood up, the ulama fought against that particular fitna. Then there was another fitna in the 1400s in the time of the Ottoman Empire, which was in the time of Sultan Muhammad Jalabi. And this particular fitna was known as the fitna of Pir Kaleja. He was an alim who was also in the structures of the government at that particular time, and then he also tried to introduce a new deen by taking different aspects from different deens and trying putting that together. That too also the ulama stood up and the ulama fought against it, and the ulama put an end to that fitna. That today we don't even know what is the fitna of Pir Kaleja, and we don't even know what is the fitna of Akbar Badshah. So no matter how they try and introduce the Abrahamic Accord, by introducing apostasy in Islam, by taking away the finality of the prophethood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by trying to prevent the spread of Islam in the name of Abrahamic Accord, that all religions are equal, whether you worship this or you worship that, it's all correct. In fact, now they are trying to print the Quran, the Bible, the Gospel and different scriptures in one folder. So if you want guidance, you can go to the Quran and get guidance. If you want guidance, you can go to the Gospel and get guidance. If you want guidance, you can go to the Bible and get guidance, because it is all equal. They will try and do this here. But the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very, very clear that in every era, in every successive era, there will be ulama who will be there to protect this deen. يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُهُ. In every consecutive century and successive term, the ulama will be there, they will be the authority who will protect this deen. يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ. They will protect the deen from the abrogation of these extremist people who are going in and trying to say that the Quran and the Bible and the Jews need to be printed together because it is all the same message. So this is extremism which they are bringing into our deen. This is a new bid'ah which are bringing to our deen. But the ulama will protect the deen from that. وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْطِلِينَ. And the plagiarism of the people of Batil, the ulama will be there and they will protect it. وتأويل الجاهلين and the ta'wil, the commentaries of the ignorant with regards to this deen, the ulama will be there, they will protect the deen from all this here. So we do not need to be afraid, we just need to be aware of how they are using this to try and snatch this valuable iman that we have. The Jews have nothing to take from them. The Christians have nothing to take from them. The other religions are there, they have nothing to take from them. It's merry-mecky, happy-go-lucky. Whatever you believe, whatever you want to do, you do. Whatever you don't want to do, you don't want to do. We have legislation. We can't do whatever we want to do. We have to do whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to do. And we have to abstain from that which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to abstain from. And the ulama, haqqa bihamna zumaazul hamid sabithi, other ulama are there, who are there to guide us in this difficult era, inshallah, if we follow them. And we follow in their footsteps, they will link us to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. So just as how those previous people were there in the time of the Ottomans, Pir Kaleja, Akbar Badshah, today nobody even knows that such fitnas existed. The Abrahamic Accord will come, whoever they want to use, whoever they want to use, whatever garb they want to put them in, whether they use a traditional ulama or whoever they use to try and advance those agendas, inshallah, the ulama will stand up, they will clear for us the correct from the incorrect, the truth from the falsehood, and inshallah, we will follow them, then we will be rightly guided. As long as we are linked to them, inshallah, nothing will happen to us. We follow them, we listen to them, we don't question this, inshallah, we will be saved. Together with this, we know that they are also trying to now establish centers of worship. So you mustn't call it a masjid anymore. You must have one center of worship, multicultural, where all different religions come into one place and everyone must worship whatever they want to worship in one place. So this is also part of the Abrahamic Accord. It has already started in the Muslim world and very soon it will be very vigorously rolled out in different parts of the world to try and say you don't need to have a separate place of worship for Muslims. Everyone need to worship under one patik. In fact, very recently in one of the Muslim countries, they even introduced a new salah which they called Salatul Khamis, the salah of Thursday, where they got people from all different religions, one Hindu, one Sikh, one Christian, one Jew, everyone stood together and they read a salah to show that all religions are equal. So tomorrow, Muslims will have to go to the temple, Muslims will have to go to the church, Muslims will have to go to the synagogue, because they came to our masjid and they read salah with us. So now we have to reciprocate it. What we need to understand, that in their religion, they do not have these parameters. They can do whatever they want to, because there is no religion. Judaism is just now a cult. The Christians is just there by name by Christianity. They don't follow anything. They follow their opinions, their whims and their desires. Us in Islam, we have parameters. We have boundaries. We can only stay within these boundaries. It doesn't mean if it is allowed in their, what they call their religion, it is also allowed in our religion. We have parameters and we have boundaries and we cannot trespass these boundaries. So if they are coming, it doesn't mean that we must also go, and this means good akhlaq, that they are coming to us, so it's good akhlaq, we must also go to them. This has got nothing to do with akhlaq, this has got to do with our belief structure, our tenets of and articles of our faith and our qidah. So as parents, we need to firstly be aware of these challenges and the root these challenges, this fitan are adopting to come into our homes through the education system, through the schooling system. Number two, we need to warn, we need to sit with our children and we need to explain to them of the greatness of the deen, the greatness of Islam, the greatness of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the supremacy of this deen, that this deen is absolute and Allah ta'ala will only accept from that person who dies with iman. We need to explain them also. And whichever challenges, whichever harm are coming in this road, then automatically our children will be able to then defend us. And if we do not do this, then there's a great danger and a great risk for our iman and the progeny. In fact, if we do not start warning them and we do not start educating them with regards to the tenets of aqidah and belief, that amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi, what we initially thought was very basic, but now it has become very, very important. And very integral and very crucial for the protection of our iman. And if we do not do this as parents, one progeny will not pass, and then majority of our offspring will be very far away from deen and they will lose the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our progeny till qiyamah and keep iman in our progeny till qiyamah and keep us steadfast in iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.